Welcome to the Work Dynamics Podcast, your source for information related to modern business workflows. I am your host, Scott Williams, along with my co-host, Grant Bifolci. Grant, are you ready to get into it today?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So here's today's topic, and it's something that I think is affecting a lot of organizations. In fact, I'm going to go off and say all organizations at this point, which is the long, dark road to true business intelligence and analytics. As we know in the, call it the press, the media, the Twitterverse, the business podcasts, everything out there, people talk about digital transformation a lot. And one of the big pushes with digital transformation, I will say first and foremost, is this idea that we start to dissolve silos within companies. Everything is now interconnected. Right? Easily done, I'm sure, as long as you have deep wallets. On top of that, you have, you know, this concept, obviously, in and around the business intelligence analytics side of things, is that, yes, there's the old adage of if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. There is the concepts of what to measure, how to measure, outcomes, and all those things. So that's really... Let's start to get into this. First and foremost, I want your opinion on this, because obviously, you know, you see this, I think, even more than I do, which is terrifying unto itself, which is there is an entire industry built around this digital transformation scenario, right? Is that there's a lot of companies out there that charge a lot of money to implement business intelligence and analytics. What are some of the, let's start with this. What are some of the horror stories, perhaps, that you have heard out in the business world of, you know, trying to get from point A to point Z with these companies that promise a lot for a lot of money and, you know, not to throw everyone under the bus, but sometimes potentially under-deliver?
Well, that's a good question. And I think the problem relates not so much to the individual organizations. And you know, there are clearly cases that we could talk about. But as you said, I don't want to get into specific organizations. But you know, just in our history, we can see that a lot of these initiatives are evolutionary related. Right. And so what happens is that we engage into a project, somebody engages into a project, and by the time the project is delivered, because it usually there's a long rollout to this, there's a massive spend, there's lots of information that has to come in. People change, priorities change, requirements change. And by the time we finish putting something in place, what ends up happening is that the goal that was initialized is now evolved to a place where the solution doesn't provide the answers that are needed. And so we end up with information that is of little value because they haven't foreseen what is going to happen in the future. And there's an evolution as to everything is changing so fast. And so we never quite get to the place that we deliver something in a timely manner. And as I was saying earlier, it's the only time that a project is actually relevant is when you initialize the project.
So is that something, you know, obviously, like, you know, when you say we, I think it's, you know, to be clear to the audience, like we're referring to we as in the general population.
The royal we, yeah.
Yes. It's, you know, so there's quite a few points there that I would like to explore. First and foremost, there is the, well, even going back to the topic, right, the long, dark road to true business intelligence. And I think it's like the long and the dark are probably the things that we want to kind of focus on just even at the moment for what you were saying is that, so as companies start down this path, there seems to be a... you know, like as you know, many people have heard me say, right, the road to Three Mile Island was paved with good intentions. I think everybody starts off on day one saying, We are going to digitally transform our organization. We are going to move forward. We've brought in consultants that are going to help us understand our needs and build the perfect solution. And I think, you know, the thing is with consulting as well, right, is that there's that old adage, if you can't be part of the solution, there's good money to be made in prolonging the problem. And I think that's where, like you were saying, the mission creep, if you want to call it that, is, you know, I know that you've kind of had the opportunity to peek under the hoods of a lot of organizations in this and try to undo some of that mission creep. What are the things that you've seen in your experience that I'll call it, what are the red flags of mission creep? Because you mentioned a lot of things like scope changes, focus changes, people change, goals change. Like, where does it usually start to go off the rails with these quote unquote consultants and, you know, the promise of building out these giant systems and software and those kind of things? What's that first piece that makes you go, I don't know, maybe we should pause this for a moment?
That's a really good question, actually. I think that if we want to talk about first steps, in my experience, the first step is that somebody buys into drinking the Kool-Aid. And mm-hmm. And the drinking of the Kool-Aid means simply this. Someone sees some advertisement, large companies that come in and say data analytics is so important. If you don't have a pulse on what's happening in your company, you're losing control of your company. And, it, you know, there's a fear in there. The problem is that it's balanced with two portions of that. There's the fear of the unknown, which is you don't have a pulse on what's happening in your company, and the fear of the known, which is, okay, fantastic. I have a pulse on what's happening with my company, but that's not something I actually wanted to see because now I have to deal with it. And so what happens is more than not, what happens is somebody buys into the advertising, the data analytics is important, and they say, you know what, we need that, but they don't really know what they're asking for. And so what happens is they engage in a project, they outline some parameters, they don't know how to put those parameters in place to actually get what they're expecting to see. They're not sure of the volume of data that may come back to them, or the lack of data that may come back to them, because they're not capturing it in an appropriate way. And what they end up with is basically the concept of teaching the consultant to measure or to put data analytics in place to give you the results that you hope for, but you define what you're asking to have and what you're expecting to see, and the consultant goes away and comes back with the answers that you asked him to provide. It's like hiring an architect to build your house, but telling him what he has to do every step of the way and not letting him actually do what he needs to do. You're teaching him. And so what happens is, after massive spends, you basically get the answers you want. But as far as your first question, where does it go off the rails? 99% of it goes off the rails as soon as I try and tell them what I want to have, because you're not really sure what you want to have in the first place or how it's going to lay out.
Well, So you bring up a good point. I mean, it's the, to put it a different way, right? It's like, it's asking somebody to write a mystery novel for you, yet tell them what the surprise ending is going to be before it's written, and exactly. Then trying to act surprised at the end, right?
Yeah, you're giving the punchline to the joke to the guy who's going to write the joke.
Right? So it's, and you know what, you bring up a really good point here, because it's, like, so I'll give you some of my experience on this as well, right? Is that as someone that that works a lot in, I'll call it the operational space of communications, marketing, and spending far too many years, I will say, at this point in my career in the C-suite to know, you know, all the red flags that pop up. I think a lot of the times there is, you're absolutely right. One, it's they... Everyone sets out to tell the story that they already know the answer to. They just want to somehow make it in a pretty graph or something, and then there's a self-congratulatory pat on the back, perhaps even.
Exactly.
At certain times. I think the other thing that happens when it comes to analytics, and we'll start with analytics because business intelligence is probably something, there's a crawl, walk, run scenario here, is that I can't count the number of times where management teams have said, here, give me all the data that you have. And of course, the answer has to be, well, okay, but careful what you wish for. No, no, we want all the data. And then suddenly when they see it dashboarded into 1,000 gauges and all these different graphs and pie charts and spinning numbers, they go, why are you showing me so many numbers? I don't even know where to start with this. And it's like, well, you said you wanted everything. I had no idea there was so much. Mm-hmm. And I think that plays into what you're saying too, right? Is that at times you can either ask for too little, too much. I don't think anyone ever asks for the right amount or the right KPIs, the right whatever it may be. I think it's this oddly experimental scenario that they go through where, say, for instance, starting with the too much, now you look at it and go, oh, do we actually only need maybe 10 gauges on our dashboard to show
right.
what's important to manage, as opposed to things that, you know, because let's face it, there are certain things that you can have access to as it pertains to data that doesn't necessarily add value. Right? Or can be misinterpreted and all those kind of things. Here's an example I had a conversation with a CEO probably a few years back, and it came to something as simple as Google Analytics. He called me in a panic. I mean panic. And he's like, oh my God, our web traffic has dropped by 80% since last week. I'm like, okay, and? It's an 80% drop, Scott. What are we going to do? And you can hear the panic. And I'm like,
right.
Do remember last week that we released 2 press releases globally. So contextually speaking, you can also say that we had a giant spike last week to the previous week and previous weeks before that because of what we did. Now, because he was missing the context and not looking past, you know, a 10 business day kind of report, well, suddenly it's the, oh my God, I'm in panic mode. And it's like, but why are you panicking and why do you really need to panic over this? Is that, you know, maybe it's not even something that you need as the CEO to be looking at.
Right. Because
apparently it causes great stress, right?
Right.
So it's those kind of things as well. So let me ask you this. I mean, in those types of scenarios as well, is that like, so this is the thread that I'd like to pull on here, is that you made an incredible point. You said you train the consultants to tell you basically what you want to hear, right? Like it's, you're already giving them the punchline to the joke. Why is it that the consultants don't have the answers going in? Right? Like,
well, that's because
they don't have the experience within a specific kind of verticalized.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you've heard the saying, I'd rather be a master of one than, you know, I'm not sure. Actually, now I can't remember the saying, so that's terrible. A jack of all trades versus a master of one, right? So, so the point I'm making is that as a consultant, every organization is different. Every one size doesn't fit all. What someone is expecting to see in one organization doesn't translate to what I'm expecting to see in another organization, and the biggest part of that too is also that you have to understand the agenda of the C-level who's looking into this. Some are doing it because of diligence. So depending on the organization you're in, they want to know that they've checked that box. I've done some business analytics, and this is what I'm getting. This is the information I'm getting. They're not really sure what they're asking for, and they're not really sure why they're asking for it, but they know that putting business analytics in place is a good thing.
Well, so, it could even be, you mentioned checkbox, that could be your ISO checkbox, right?
Exactly. It could be a number of different things. In certain organizations, it's a performance-related activity. If you're reporting to a board, you say, hey, you know, we're going to spend a whole bunch of money on business analytics, and this is what it's going to give us. Okay, fair. Now, what happens when you get it? So the first part is they're not even sure why they're asking for it, but they think it's a good idea because they've been put into this fear of not knowing these details, and so it's important for them to know it. But then it's how do you deal with it after? And so the problem is that the motivation is different for each organization, as is the subject matter. So a consultant will come in and say, if you tell me what it is you're trying to get to, I can get you there. But what are you going to do with that information once you have it? What value is it going to provide? Are you doing it so that you can check the box and say that you have that information? Or are you doing it because you're going to do something with it? The problem is that most of the data comes in at mid-level or lower level. A C-level person really can look at it from a high level, much like your example where he says our traffic has dropped, but they don't understand the reason why. All they're mm-hmm. looking at is math. And yeah. so, and especially if it's taken out of context, they don't have a way to support the value in what they're seeing in front of them. The second part is that depending on how well the consultant does and how much time they spend on it, the level of information that comes in could be absolutely overwhelming. And it could lead to a whole bunch of different kinds of tasks. The next step is, okay, once we have this information, how do we absorb it? How do we disseminate what the next task is based on this information, and where is the value there? If your C-level person understands why they asked what they asked for and understands the process in how to resolve or modify those numbers, then there's a value there. But if there's any cog in the wheel that's missing, the value, the amount of data that's coming back, it can be overwhelming and can actually be misleading, much like you said about the stats from the Google Analytics. The problem is that most people are set with process regardless of what sense tells them. And so I worked with an organization once that asked me to produce in triplicate data for them so they could utilize that data on a paper-based system. And I asked them what they do with the copies of the paper that they get. And they said, one goes to this department, one goes to this other department, and we throw the third one away. And I said, why do you do that? And they said, well, that's what we've always done. So even though they went through a process to modernize their system, they never got past the old process. And if you don't modify your processes to give you the data you want, then you end up with data that's really not relevant to your current system, which doesn't enable you the ability to make the changes you need to make. But I did get the checkbox.
Right. Of course. The ever-looming checkbox. Isn't that that's the most right. important thing? Well, we said we'd do it and we did it. So, you know, everything's better now, I guess.
Right.
So let's talk about this. You know, we talk about this digital transformation aspect. We talk about analytics is one thing, the business intelligence is the other, and I think that's, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head with that, right? Is that it's business paired with intelligence about the business. It is not an intelligent scenario to say, well, this is the way we've always done it, and let's throw one copy of the triplicate that we have into the trash every day or week or month or whatever it is. I think the path forward here is an interesting one, because we talk about the consultants, we talk about, you know, they're going to give you what you want, perhaps not what you need. So let's talk about the need for a moment and the way that people can avoid this odd consulting scenario. Now, I'll bring this back to what we do, I guess, because it's, you know, it is our podcast itself is really about modern business workflows. It's what our company does. But without sounding, you know, I'll say it's too self-promoting, the reality is that there is the custom build scenario of we're going to start from scratch. Yeah, even these companies can talk about code libraries and all those kind of things to accelerate stuff. We know that. But at the end of the day, I think they're approaching it more from, at least in my experience, I'll call it engineers, right? Like, these are guys that build things. You want me to build you something? We have predefined code stacks. We can talk about AWS, or we can talk about, you know, whatever it may be. And it's they're approaching it from an engineering perspective and not necessarily an intelligent business perspective as to what the organization needs. In our particular case, the world that we live in, Grant, is that, you know, having a platform that is, you know, largely a no-code scenario, one, adds parameters and guidelines. Two, it also obviously enables, you know, the customization of workflows, because that's an important thing. But I think also largely it is one of those scenarios to which when you're working within those guidelines and parameters, it also adds to process and the expertise perhaps that a platform scenario can bring to the table more so than like a custom scenario. And what I mean by that is that let's go back to the consulting scenario for a moment. I mean, look, you know, I can't count the number of organizations that we implement our platform with. We've seen under the hoods of a lot of companies. And when you're dealing with the like I said, the sort of those guardrails of a platform that kind of enables you to focus, what it does is it sets at least a baseline of best practices and a knowledge that comes along with, you know what, we know a lot of what you're going to want to measure and how to measure it and how to report on it and to give those customers what they need versus what they want because of the nature of the beast itself. Do you agree with that?
I do, actually. There's some real value in there. More often than not, in from the inception of this company and as the tool was developed, I did a lot of the sales presentations, was involved in that cycle quite heavily. And my experience tells me this. I could showcase our platform to organizations, and they were very excited about the software and what it could do for them as a deliverable from a data analytics perspective and also from a workflow and processing perspective. Mm-hmm. Until I got to the end of the presentation and they said, okay, what are the next steps? And I said, well, we need to understand your business process. And then all of a sudden there was a sand in the gears moment. And I
dead
had to
silence
explain
just that, like deer in the headlights.
Yeah, oh. Exactly. Because a lot of people, a lot of organizations don't understand their business process. They understand the bottom line. They understand the financial aspects. They understand the processing aspects. They know what they have to accomplish for the most part, but they don't know how to get there. And so if you ask somebody to custom build a solution in the same capacity, it's fraught with bad intelligence on what it is that they're trying to build and get to. It's two different languages. It's a business person talking to a engineer, and the engineer says, okay, yes, Here's what I think you want. And the business person says, no, this is what I want. And the engineer says, okay, this is what I think you want. And they never actually align. Right. One of the values with a low code, no code application is that we can establish a structure, a set of parameters by which they work within. So we fit our application to the client, but our client fits to us as well. It doesn't mean that we alter their business process, but the structure of the solution helps them understand how and ask the appropriate questions on how they want to build their business processes out. One of the values in an application like ours, which is a platform versus a piece of software, is simply this. As you are utilizing the application, because it's completely configurable, because you can adjust it through a designer type application, it allows you to reverse engineer your business processes and the amount of data you're capturing and the identification on those that data you're capturing as you evolve the application. So the business analytics portion is important as a starting point. The reports are important as a starting point. But as you see the software being put in place in your organization, and as you see things happening that are needed, required, processes that need to change, information inputs and outputs that need to change, you actually build your application and configure it to your business process so that you actually have a very detailed engineered plan of what your business processes are, and you don't have to know that before you start. And that's the problem with a custom developed application. You better know what you're asking for before you engage. Otherwise, you end up with a shamble of information in a whole bunch of different ways. But if you have the ability through a platform to configure your solution as you go, you can fine tune it. It's like putting an engine in your car and adding pieces and adding little things that are going to make it perform optimally. And that's what a solution like ours can provide.
You want nitrous? You got nitrous.
Exactly.
So, but that brings us full circle also to this, something that you had brought up at the beginning of the conversation, right? Which is, when we look at digital transformation, we look at custom built software, we look at, you know, custom built analytics, all those kinds of things. We talked about mission creep, right? And that mission creep is usually the lack of knowledge, lack of ability to, like, as you said, look into the future and guesstimate even sometimes what you want, let alone predict. The challenge becomes then is that it's that building the airplane as you're flying it adage, right? Is that it doesn't work that way. Now that technology has evolved to the point where, and oddly enough, it has evolved quite quickly, right? Is that even the concept of digital transformation itself has not been around that long. I mean, take away the marketing industry buzzword kind of scenario on this. You know, there's a reality to digital transformation still. As I said at the beginning, it's that the dissolving of business silos and kind of the interconnectivity and workflows and those kind of things. Have we gotten past the point now of the requirement for custom when there's platforms that exist where you can modify as you go, as opposed to carving it in stone on day one and trying to navigate the pitfalls. And again, that long, dark road to business intelligence and analytics, right? Is that if you have the ability to say, hey, we built our processes a certain way in the platform on day one, and at day 90, we decided that, wow, looking at the analytics that we can choose at any given time and augment, it's telling us that we need to make our workflow better, and here's how to make it better. And you do that. There's not a sudden, you know, spike in cost again where it's like, well, back to the consultants, and they come in and go, wow, you should have told us this 90 days ago, man. Like, you know this is going to cost you another, like, $250,000 or whatever it is, because there's a lot of work in this. No, it's a platform that you can actually just say, no, I'm going to augment it the way that I want. And yeah, maybe there's a little bit of tech support that might be needed, but it's certainly not the long, dark road, right?
And that's exactly the value that this application can provide, that solutions like ours provide. Because if you have a custom-built application, then to make modifications to those custom-built applications, like you said, require somebody to come back and try and engineer the deltas in there. And, you know, the fearful aspect of that is that they aren't able to. And so what happens then is you're handcuffed by your initial position, which could be, you know, months or years old. And so oftentimes, and I'll give you an example, there was an IBM product called Flowmark that was a workflow tracking application. But the problem with that application, and this is going back 20 years, but the problem with that application is that there was no ad hoc capability. So once right. you put your business process in place, you are relegated to that business process. Well, okay, the business process doesn't make sense 5 years later. Well, that's too bad. You can't move it. You're if you said it went ABC, it has to go ABC. So mm-hmm. you need to conform your business practice to the process versus the process being conformed to your business practice. And so being able to engineer, reverse engineer, modify, make slight changes to improve your processes as you go keeps you relevant. And mm-hmm. as I said in my initial point, the problem with most solutions that are custom-built applications is this. The only time they're relevant is on the day that you start building it. And after that, it's not good. It can change. It can modify your business. Everything in our world is adaptable. But if you write a piece of code, unless you change that code and go back and go through the cycles and change all the processing, then it's stagnant. It's out of date.
But agile.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, look at, you know, and without getting into too many specifics, it wasn't that long ago that we had an application that was supposed to support the gun registry, you know, and they spent however many millions and millions. And I think it was well in over the $100 million mark to put that application in place. And by the time they actually got around to delivering something, it was so defunct that it never actually rolled out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that situation happens not only in the public sector, in the private sector, all over the place. And what happens is the solution doesn't manifest itself to a position where it provides enough value to actually implement the solution after the fact.
Well, I think the last thing that I'd like to cover in our podcast today too, and perhaps this is a good place to wrap it up. We talk about the again, I'll go back to that the digital transformation definition, which is that dissolving of silos and sort of the interconnectivity side of things. There's a far bigger picture, I think, that people have to look at in this day and age as well, is that, you know, we talk about platforms. This is for even our kind of platform and platforms like it, it's not the only platform that people have within their organization. So integration becomes also a huge issue, right? Is that does the platform that you're using, say, for even whether it's, you know, document management, whether it's, you know, in correspondence management, whether it's, you know, workflow automation, whether it's case management, compliance, reporting, enforcement, all those kind of things, what does it connect to? Because it's whatever, even whatever platform you choose, it's not magic, right? It doesn't replace everything in your entire company. Like, does it connect with Oracle? Does it connect with SharePoint? Does it connect with Microsoft, you know, OpenText? Like, I can go on and on and on, because all those things still need to be there as well, right? So it's there's a journey here that has to be looked at in a far greater scope and far wider scope than perhaps the blinders that get put on when you're looking for, well, business intelligence analytics, even if that's what you're looking for, or better workflow or whatever. Well, yeah, but there's an entire world of other systems that this does have to digitally transform and connect to in order to even build out the analytics as it ingests everything from that as well. And I think that's one of the things, again, when we look at that custom build scenario, as you said, right? Custom build is great on day one. 5 years into it, it's like, oh, well, we've added seven platforms to our business since then that are brand new, cool platforms. And it's like, how do we make those integrate?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Wait, call the consultants back and, oh, that's a rip and replace. We're going to have to rebuild three quarters of this and, you know, open up your wallet again. No, that's not That is not, unless, I don't know, you've got Apple-like money. I don't know.
Yeah. The other, you know, the real problem, too, with custom-built applications is that they're typically built in a framework, whatever that framework may be. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're building something, if you're looking for a Dynamics application built in CRM, you can build that application, build it out, put it in place. But as technology evolves, you have to rebuild that solution. One of the values of a using an organizational platform that's a no-code platform is that there's always in technology, there's always going to be upgrades to the solution. There's always going to be upgrades to the software. But it's completely different to take and upgrade a piece of software that has functionality in it that allows you to evolve on an evolutionary path to more current integrations with OpenText applications or SAP or whatever it may be. That's a completely different approach than having to build or rebuild your application because the custom developed platform changes. So for example, with CRM, if you build something out in CRM and the CRM version changes, it would be similar to having Windows 10 on your application or on your desktop and then having the current version of the Microsoft platform. You have to go back and rebuild that. And that's rebuying it every single time that you can do that. Now, you can make your performance edits. You can change your business processes and do those things, but you're rebuilding it. Whereas we have clients right now that have had our application in place for 20 plus years. And the core application has changed, but the functionality within the application has evolved to allow them to support modern technology, but still use the basic fundamental application underneath. Which allows them to evolve their business processes at the micro level, as we said, using tools within the application to evolve it, but it hasn't forced them to rewrite anything. It's always upgrading to keep in tune with the advent in technology. But it's not having to rewrite a piece of software because it's become stale dated.
You know, I think Let's end it here for the listeners today. But I think the point in all of this that we can maybe, you know, wrap this up in is that before you consider spending literally millions of dollars on custom applications, and whether that's external or internal, the last thing you want to do is also spin up a software company inside your company. That's always never a good idea. But I guess, you know, to sum it up, it does not have to be a long and dark road. It can be a short and very well-lit road as long as you make the right decisions on day one and adopt a platform that is built for this type of thing. So, Grant, as always, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to rant about business process and all things business related with you. And for the listeners, if you have any questions, would like to continue this conversation, visit us at workdynamics.com. There are plenty of forums, phone numbers, emails, everything that you would need. Follow us on social media, and any one of our multiple specialists can get back to you to answer any questions you would like. Until the next time, my name is Scott Williams. With me is Grant Bafulci. Thanks for joining the Work Dynamics Podcast.